Good evening to everyone. Certainly has been a beautiful first day of the week, and I hope that everyone has enjoyed it. I know that there are those that haven't enjoyed it because of the circumstances. Brother Pat and Ann, we need to continue to remember them in our thoughts and prayers. I went by the funeral home a little earlier, and she sure is taking it hard where the death was sudden and unexpected. So keep that family in your thoughts and prayers. Also the family of Preston Hawkins, who is associated with Herbs, keep that family in your prayers as well. Death is always tough, and also the Lucille Ponder family. I know all those are still grieving over the loss of their mother. This evening, I'm going to try to keep the lesson short. Brenda always tells me that I can't do a short sermon. I try to prove her wrong, but most of the time she ends up being right. But I'm going to try to do a short one because I thought there'll be some people that's wanting to go by the funeral home maybe after worship services this evening. As I thought about a lesson thought for this evening, I thought about the fact that we as Christians need to be very persistent as Christians. And oftentimes what happens is we're very persistent at a lot of things in life, but we're not really as persistent at our Christianity. And as I've said many, many times before, I'll say it again, this lesson would be applicable to me probably as much as anyone here. And I like, before I go any further, I appreciate the visitors that are in our audience tonight. Glad to see them out, and hope that you can come back and be with us on any occasion that you can. But again, I feel that sometimes I'm very persistent in things that I do as it pertains to this life. I'm very adamant on management practices in my business, and I'm very diligent in those things. And somebody might look at my operation and say different or otherwise, but I know deep within me that I try to really be on top of things, so to speak. And I know to be successful in any business, you have to put a certain amount of diligence, and you have to take a certain amount of pride in it, and you have to try to be on top of it, and you have to be persistent to be successful. Those who have accomplished great things as far as their educations, those who have acquired or apprehended associate's degrees and bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and doctor's degrees, it takes a lot of persistence to be able to do that and to accomplish that. And it takes a lot of hard work and effort and diligence in accomplishing those things. And I know that there's many of this congregation that has accomplished that. So I know that you have a lot of persistence, and you're able to do and accomplish great things. Again, as I think about Christian persistence, I think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how persistent that He was whenever people were mocking Him, ridiculing Him, making fun of Him, spitting upon Him, and how persistent He was to carry out His Father's will. He was going to accomplish what His Father sent Him here to do at any cost, and even to the point of death, He was going to accomplish that. It takes great persistence to do what our Savior did on our behalf, does it not? So as we start the Christian walk, if you're here tonight and you are a Christian, and you have accepted Jesus Christ and His blood and its ability to save you, and you're walking the Christian walk, don't ever think that it's going to be easy and that there's not going to be things that you have to overcome and hurdles that you have to get over, because there are. And there are things that you have to work through and you have to sort through, and you have to be real persistent and sometimes almost dilatory to be successful and have that eternal abode with God when this life is over. So for us to think that it's going to be easy always for us to be a Christian, for us to think that there is no trials, there is no temptations, there is no things that we have to deal with, even sometimes with our brothers and sisters in Christ, would be a foolish thought. We don't need to think that. We need to realize that we have to have what we call Christian persistence. We have to be willing to step up and be tough when we have to be tough, to press forward towards the mark of the high calling. Oftentimes, I've come to the conclusion that the difference between heaven and hell is just simply persistence. whether people have the persistence to keep following after God. When the chips are down, whenever they're going through turmoil in their life, whenever they're going through crisis in their lives, oftentimes people have a tendency to want to blame God, and they say, well, why would God let this happen to me, or why is this befallen upon me, whenever that's not the case at all. There is times when we go through things that it may have a purpose, or it may serve a purpose in our life to make us stronger, to make us more what God would have us to be. Maybe it's to make us humbler. Whatever it is that God sees that we need, as I've told you before, it's a lot better to be humble because you know God wants you to be humble than it is for God to have to humble you. And we just need to know that as Christians, and there's going to be things that we have to deal with in this life, on this side of eternity, that are not always pleasant. But if we'll be persistent, it will determine the overall outcome and where we'll spend eternity when this short life is over. We have to be persistent in our Christian living. If we fail to learn persistence, we'll find ourselves not getting to heaven. We'll not make it. We have to have persistence. Sometimes you have Christians that are, as Revelations describes it, they are lukewarm. There are Christians that they're kind of like fair-weather Christians. In other words, if everything's going good and everything's just the way they think that it ought to be in this life, then, yeah, they'll profess to be Christians. But let something happen that's a little bit out of the ordinary, let something happen that puts a little bit of stress on them, that puts them in a little bit of a financial crisis, that puts them in a hardship as far as their family being sick or ill, and oftentimes you see that they don't stick to their Christianity. Why is that? Why would that be the case? Is it just simply a lack of persistence, a willingness to serve God? No matter what we're dealing with in this life, we have to be willing to do that as His people. And again, if I can reflect back to whenever I'm having things in my life that I don't understand why I'm having to deal with them and why they're coming my way or why they're befalling upon me, if I could look back at my dear Savior and look at all the things that He went through on my behalf and your behalf, it really helps me to understand that we have to have this persistence. We have to be long-suffering. We have to be willing to stick it out through thick and thin, no matter what we're dealing with in this life. And when you compare eternity to this short life, and if you live to be an old age upon this earth, it's still a short span to eternity. But if you stick it out and you gain eternity, it'll all be worth it. Your reward will certainly be worth it. We need to focus on the possibilities and not the circumstances. You know, it's not always easy to do that, is it? I remember, again, as our daughters played basketball, and I know many of you all are familiar with the sport and coached it and so forth. I remember oftentimes whenever it looked like there was no way that a game could be pulled out, and the coach would tell the team, you know, it's easier to have negative thoughts than it is to have positive thoughts, but you got to keep your chin up and you got to keep trying. And that's the way it is in the game of life. Sometimes it seems like things get so bad, our circumstances is so dire, that it's hard to focus on the possibilities of what could come out of this situation that would actually make us better, that would make those around us better and make us stronger, make us more apt to be servants of God. And again, whenever we're going through, I once heard it said, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. And there's a lot of truth in that. Remember the power of God. Romans 4, chapter 4, and verse 17. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And again, that's the God that we serve. It's the one who brought those back from the dead, who brought them back to life. And those that he's the God that will resurrect all people someday, and we'll spend eternity in one or two places after that resurrection. We'll have an eternal abode with God, or we'll have an eternal abode in hell. Also in Romans 4 and verse 18, against all hope, and again, this is examples of people who, when the chips were down and it seemed like things would be impossible from man's view and from man's knowledge, they found hope in God. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And also in verse 19 there, it's the same place. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. And of course, this would be a natural reaction if someone told you that you were going to bear children or have children at Abraham's and Sarah's age. It would be easy to say there's no way. But God didn't, or Abraham didn't question God, did he? Do you and I have that sort of faith whenever we read God's Word, whenever we try to make application of God's Word to our lives? Do we have that sort of faith to just say, it says it, God has said it, I know that it's going to be that way? Or do we sometimes question, or does our faith waver a little bit? And Romans 4 and on down in verse 20 says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. You know what makes you and I righteous? Just like the same thing that made Abraham righteous was the fact that we believe what God promises us. We believe what's revealed in His Word, and we make application of that. And whenever we pray to God, we don't think that that prayer is just going up to the ceiling. We know that we're praying to a true and living God that has the ability to answer those prayers. That's what makes the difference, and that's what makes us righteous in God's sight. We have to have that faith. And Abraham, I like the word that his faith did not waver, but he was strengthened by what God had promised him. And whenever that promise was fulfilled, even more strength was gained. Are you and I that way as his people? You can think about things that people have done in this life that people would say was impossible or that would never happen. Remember other things that have made it in this worldly things that... I'll get to that in a minute. Remember others that have made it in the worldly things that others never believed possible. This is a Russian guy here that he was the first guy to be able to lift 500 pounds. And I don't know, I think is how you pronounce that. It's a Russian name. But he's lifting that 500 pound there, and there was a lot of people that told him that it would never happen, and he did it. So there's countless examples of things that you could look at that people have accomplished that other people said couldn't be accomplished when it pertains to this life, but yet they went ahead and done it. They went ahead and they had faith and they had endurance and they had persistence to accomplish whatever it was that they were trying to accomplish. Just think about all the great athletes that have accomplished great, great things. Tiger Woods has made a great comeback I seen last week, and he may be considered to be the best golfer in the world once again. They thought that was impossible, that it would never happen after he had once had that title and lost it because of some things that was going on in his life, and he was away from the sport for a while. So whenever we think about things in this life that might seem impossible, and yet people go ahead and accomplish them, they go ahead and endure, and they go ahead and have the persistence, we can see that oftentimes they come out victorious. How much greater of a thing is it to do this with God and serving God, to know that you can be victorious, that you can have that eternal bow with Him if you only have the persistence to see it through? Others have faced the hardships and the challenges of the Christian life, so can you. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And once again, whenever you think about what it is that we deal with in this life, it's kind of minute in comparison to what our Savior went through. And we go through some bad stuff. I'm not taking away from that, and I'm not discounting that. But whenever you look at what our Savior went through and the willingness that He had to endure all these things that He suffered on our behalf, and Him being righteous, being just, being unworthy of that cruel, humiliating death in which He died, it should give us good faith to keep being persistent in our Christian walk. You don't know what you can do until you have to do it sometimes, do you? And I know I've preached sermons somewhat along this line. Sometimes whenever we're pulled out of our comfort zone of serving God, whatever that might be and wherever that might be, and we're put in a position of where we have to do something for our Savior, we realize that we may have been doing a lot more for a lot longer time than what we've been doing. You know, I was enlightened one time when I was about 35 years old. There was an elderly lady that lived by us, and I never seen myself as being a friend to an elderly lady. She was about 85 years old, and I never seen myself as being a friend to that lady, but I developed a relationship with her and a friendship with her that is second to none, and she's deceased now, but I consider her to be one of my best friends that I ever had in my life. And it's kind of enlightening whenever you think about things like that, because up to a certain age, I guess I just hadn't thought about it, but I was put into a position to where she needed a friend, and I found her leaning upon me as a friend, somebody that she could talk to, and the next thing you know, we were good buddies, and I tried to help her as much as I could, and she would help me as much as she could, and we were a big encouragement to each other. And again, it was just one of those situations to where it came to light that you can be a friend to someone, maybe someone that you don't expect. You can be an encouragement to them, and you can help them along life's way. You think about the soldiers at Okinawa, what a battle that was. I read where there was 100,000 Japanese that were killed, and it was one of the bloodiest battles of the World War II, and it was one of the last battles of World War II. And some would ask the question, well, why was that so important? You know, that territory of the island of Okinawa is now considered to be Japanese territory, but we have military bases all over it. And our presence there is vital to the security of the United States of America. And think about how many years ago that was that they took that island. But we have security because they did, and they were persistent. And it was thought that it couldn't be done, but they accomplished it through being persistent, through being adamant, through being diligent, and wanting to accomplish what they had set out to do. And again, whenever you think about great accomplishments such as that, we ought to think as Christians that we can accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, whatever that might be, and wherever it might be. Who knows what you'll be faced with as a Christian? Fact is, whatever comes, you can endure it. Others have, and so can you. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. What does it take? It takes faithfulness unto death. And again, sometimes whenever we start the Christian walk, we're not aware of what we're going to have to go through for Christ. We're not aware of what we're going to have to go through in this old life. We're not aware of the tribulations, the trials, the persecutions, even sometimes within our own household or of our own family, the endurance that we might have to have. But there's been others that have walked in the same shoes that we're trying to walk. And they made it. They were successful. And it was largely because they had persistence. They were willing to be adamant and persistent in their Christian pursuit. I ask you this evening to ask yourself, am I persistent as a Christian? Am I as persistent as a Christian as I am in other walks of my life, in my business walks, in the things that I want to accomplish around the house? Am I that adamant as a Christian? Am I that persistent? Do I realize the importance of being on top of my situation as a Christian and being persistent? Studying God's Word, making application of God's Word, sharing God's Word with those who I come in contact with. You might be surprised what it is that you can conquer when other people see persistence in your Christian walk. And again, I know that I had a lesson once before that kind of included being consistent in our Christian walk, and there's a lot of similarities in that word. You know, it is important to be consistent. Some of the people that's had the most influence in my Christian walk were people that I looked at as being consistent and persistent in that they were going to do what was right in every situation. You could not back them into a corner and think that they were going to come out fighting. They had the right attitude. They always wanted to do what was right according to the Word of God. Can you and I say that about ourselves? If not, we may need to work on that area of our life, being persistent in our Christian walk, no matter what the circumstances are. Look beyond the circumstances that you're now involved in, the things that you're dealing with, the things that you're wrestling with. Look beyond that and say, what are the possibilities beyond this point where I'm at? We're pretty good at that when it comes to things of this life. I remember whenever I bought my farm, it was a big, big thing for a 22-year-old man to do what I'd done. I didn't sleep good for several days after I made that big move in my life. But I was persistent and I made it work, and I don't say that braggingly, but I made the last payment on it here about a month ago. Boy, it felt good. Sure did, about 30 years of that waller and that thing around, but it was over. And I think about that, and I think how that most people don't care to do that. They'll wait in on a 30-year house mortgage. Citizens Bank signs them up all the time, 30-year mortgage. FSA may sign them up for 40 years if it's a situation where they can work with them. People they'll buy into that. And 20 years into it, they're still there persistently doing what they said and agreed that they would do when they signed that dotted line. And I know there's some that fall by the wayside and default, but a lot of people can do that and accomplish that, and they don't have any problem with that. But you ask them to walk the Christian walk, and they say, oh, it's just too hard. I just don't think I can do that. I just don't think someone can walk that Christian walk. I've talked to people here in the last week that says, I just don't believe you can walk that Christian walk. I said, I don't believe that God would ask us to do something that was impossible to do. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. A lot of the problem with people that think that way is they're putting too much confidence in themselves and not enough confidence in God Almighty. Not enough confidence in Jesus Christ's ability to forgive us of our sins and make us worthy to be fit to work in His kingdom and in His vineyard. You have to put your confidence in Him. It can't be all about you and what you can do. Yeah, it is oftentimes hard, and oftentimes there are struggles in our Christian walk. But persistence, just like in all other areas of our life, it will pay off. If you're here this evening and you never made the decision to become a child of God, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. If you've heard the gospel preached enough that you know what is required of you to become a Christian, and that is, you know, Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so that means all people have sinned and they need forgiveness of those sins. Luke 13:3 says, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So there's a need for repentance of your past sins and acknowledgement to God that, yeah, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've been wrong. I want to change that. I want to go in the opposite direction of the way that I've been going. And then, of course, there's a need for the confession of faith, the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And that's found in Romans 10:10, where he says there, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must be willing to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when Peter preached there, the question was asked by those that were present, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you're still not done. Revelations 2:10 says, remaineth thou faithful unto death, the scripture that's on the screen, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. So we have to walk a faithful walk after we make the decision to become a Christian. We have to have persistence about our Christian life. If you're here this evening and we can help you in any way, we'd ask you to come as together we stand and as we sing.